Father, we thank you for the precious Word of God that has brought us thus far. Thank you. May it be broken to our hearts tonight. May we feed upon it, take from it. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I wish to read the first 8 verses of the 17th chapter of the Gospel by Matthew. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Luke says they spoke of his decease not many days after that. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. There is such a great fascination in the study of phenomena in this world, and it is such an interesting thing to observe the changes that take place that are called the metamorphosis. Last Sunday morning, was it? Or the Sunday before, we read the poem, How the Worm Said, I Don't Want to Be a Fly, I Just Want to Be a Worm. And it got me to thinking how much this is like so many of God's precious people. But the metamorphosis is that which comes to substances without destroying their essential nature. For an example, charcoal is pure carbon. And when it's intensely heated under great pressure, it becomes that brilliant stone that we know as the diamond. And yet, it is still carbon. It has just changed. It's like a metamorphosis. Actually, the substance remains the same. And then we know how water can become ice or steam, and yet it's always water. And then you think of sand, some of the most beautiful vessels I have ever seen were at one time the ordinary sand that you can find on the seashore and play with in your hands. And yet there has been this great change. And though it has taken on the beauty of the glass blower, it has taken on the thought, the plan that he had in his mind as he started to blow it, it's still sand. And then you think of the clay. and some of them beautiful vessels of clay, some of the china, some of the fine bisque. It was just at one time clay. And yet this clay can turn out many ways. Put a seed in this soil, and it will produce a beautiful flower or a fruit or a vegetable. And so we think of these things. The ugly worm, seemingly when they're the ugliest, the most hideous, these are the ones that make the most beautiful moths. And when the metamorphosis comes, we're amazed at the beauty that this ugly worm took on. And you see, all of these are just an introduction to that vast and illimitable and unspeakable transformation that can come to men and women under the influence and the power of the gospel. Peter once was pure carbon, but God got a hold of him and made a shining stone that will one day grace the courts above. You think of the Apostle Paul. You think of Mary of Magdala. You think of so many that were in the Bible. Cast-offs, outcasts, unwanted. And yet, the gospel got a hold of them. And today, they're in the glory with Him. And the final portion of it is yet to come. You think of Paul, that man who said he was the chief of sinners. And yet after the metamorphosis, he is doubtless the chief of saints. But then, before this could happen, each one of them had to be translated or transfigured. They had to be metamorphosed. They had to be changed. Now the portion that I read as our scripture tonight gives us the metamorphosis, or that is, the transformation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle John writes about this in his Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 14, and he said it like this. Well, he had said, in the beginning was the Word. And he said the Word was with God. And he said the Word was God. And then in the 14th verse he said, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now you see, He came down and He became the vile, the ugly worm, as it were. But there on that mount, they saw something that would one day take place in the Lord Jesus. God just showed them a little bit ahead of hand and ahead of time. And here they look upon the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Peter 1:16 and 18, he also tells us about this. And he said, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty, for He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven ye heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Now, as I mentioned as I read our text, Luke 9:31 says that Moses and Elijah spoke to him of his death, which he should accomplish. And we have two Greek words here in this word death and this word accomplish. The word death is the word exodus, as it is expressed of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. You see, it in a sense was a metamorphosis. And then this word accomplish, it means and is descriptive of the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ when he filled or accomplished all the prophecies that were said concerning him. You see, apart from fulfilling these prophecies, he could never have been changed into that glory. You remember how the devil offered him the kingdoms of the earth without this. But you see, it would only be a temporal thing if the devil gave it to him without this. It's as he goes through the metamorphosis that it's his and his forever. And that's the way it is with you and I. And now, when we think of life, eternal life, it's unquestionably the eternal mysteries of the ages. There's no scientist that can trap life. No philosopher can quite explain it. And it's that strange spark from somewhere else. No mortal wit can make it. And no wealth of man can buy it. Nor can all of the wise men that are in the world bring it back once it's gone. And life is that priceless treasure that each of us who are born again have. And regardless of everything else you and I may or may not have, there is that unspeakable metamorphosis possible to you and me. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk to you about the most wonderful thing that can ever happen to men and women. And it can happen to you. Paul not only tells us about it, but he himself is the outstanding example of it. And you think of the metamorphosis, it begins with the new birth. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, where you read, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated," or this is the Greek word, metamorphosis, "us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Oh, when I look at you and me, and I realize what we were, Jesus on the cross became and was pictured as a writhing serpent. He was pictured as the vilest and the lowest thing there. He was so vile that God must turn his face from him. There on the cross, the sins of the entire human race were heaped upon Him. And He was made sin for you who knew no sin, that you might become the righteousness of God which is in Him. And the Bible tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And this is that which Paul is speaking of. Paul told the saints at Rome that the gospel, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You see, if God is going to take you out of that horrible bondage and out of that blackness and darkness that's inexpressible when we think of the sin that grips our lives, there's just one way He can do it. The gospel. Talking to dear Brother Johnson here a few Sunday mornings ago, two or three Sunday mornings ago, the building was filled. And I said, Brother Johnson, the sweet thing about it, there's just one thing that did this here, the gospel. We haven't tricked anybody. We haven't tried to entertain anybody. We haven't pumped you up or pumped you out. We haven't tried to do anything. Our confidence has been in the precious Word of God. This is the only thing that really will work in the light of eternity. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul further told the saints, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so, dear ones, the power of darkness over one dead in trespasses and sins, we could never fully state what it is. Who could express the bondage that men and women are in who don't know Christ? And who can express the bondage that you and I were in? Some of us did some things. I told these young people, I said, look, at the only difference is I was like them some 40 years ago. Now, I didn't dress like they did. I didn't cut my hair like they did. But I ran with the crowd that was then. I did the things that were then. My mother tried to get me to go to church, and I said, Mom, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, I went to the speakeasies. You see, that was probation days. I went to the speakeasies and saw the deacons there, and I knew what was going on. I understood what was going on. And I renounced it. I wanted nothing to do with it. But that was my bondage. Someone else has another bondage. Do you realize that in my ministry I've seen men and women bound up with being good, religious, good, kind, good neighbors, good fathers, good mothers. I tried to tell them of their need of Jesus Christ, and they would answer, I'm as good as anybody else. You see, before the metamorphosis can start, the gospel has to take a hold of your life. You have to be born again.
And you're not born again through joining something or submitting to something. That all the water in all of the baptismal founts and tanks in the world will never save a soul. All of the magic words and all of the hands that could be laid on you and set over you by good and wonderful people are of no worth. You have to be born again. Someone said God never had any grandchildren, just children. You see, I am not going to heaven because my daddy went to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I personally one day took Jesus Christ to be my personal Savior. I believed upon Him, and in that moment He translated, metamorphosed me out of the kingdom of darkness. And I was moved over here into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Never to go back to that kingdom of darkness, even if I wanted to. I'll get to that in a minute. And so this is the first change. Then in Philippians 3:20, the Apostle Paul tells us, our citizenship is in heaven. That is the kingdom that we now recognize in the midst of human clamor and all of the upheaval today is a heavenly kingdom. Paul listened to the high calling of God in Christ. And this is what he means in Romans 12:2 when he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transform. That's that word, metamorphosed. Now here we are in the world. I'm just as much in the world as any sinner is in the world. When you get saved, that doesn't take you out of the world. That doesn't necessarily take you away from friends and things. But you have been put in the kingdom of light. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And in this 12th chapter of the book of Romans, he went on to say, be that ye may be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now so often we're prone to forget what God is doing in this life as Christians. Did you know Christians can lose their directions? Oh no, you don't know that, do you? None of you ever lost your direction, did you? I've had some of you, especially you that weren't saved very long, blessed and thrilled by the new birth, then filled with the Holy Spirit and feeling like you were living in the clouds. And then one day, instead of the clouds, you felt like you went kaplunk, clear to the bottom. Things began to look wrong, seem wrong. The heavens became brass. And you thought, what's the matter? And so it's a good thing that you do. I've had some of you come to me and say, Brother Hill, What's the matter? I don't feel like I want to pray anymore. You ever feel like that, Bob Davis?
Yeah, Brother Hill, he said, I'll tell you.
I don't know. Something's happened to me. I don't feel happy anymore. Feel like it's all gone.
Well, he came to the right person because I'd gone through all that. And I knew that was just a part of the metamorphosis. And I knew, you see, that's when you begin to learn the worth of the Word of God. That's when you begin to know what He's telling you. What did He tell you? He said, I will not leave thee, nor forsake thee. He didn't say, if you feel like I'm close, I'm close. If you feel like I'm not there, I'm not there. He said, I will not. He said, lo, I am with you always. I don't care how you feel. I don't care how it seems. I don't care how it sounds. I don't care what difficulty you're falling into. I am with you. Yes, Sister Blackwood testified. One testified, God kept me from it. The other one testified, God took me through it. You've heard me say before, God can keep you out of the fire. God can keep you in the fire. God can take you through the fire, and sometimes He let it burn you. Didn't He let the martyrs burn? Many a time. But in it all, the metamorphosis is working. He's doing something. He's getting you ready for something. You see, you're just as changed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light as you're ever going to be. You'll never be any more saved 1,000,000 years from now than you were the moment you took Christ as your Savior. Safety is safety. But then you get over here, and thank God He leaves us here in spite of the fact we'd like to get away, and teaches us how to live in the time that's coming. You see, it's through the bitter experiences. It's through the trying times. It's through the obstacles, the difficulties. It's as we're thrown into temptation. It's as trial mounts up before us like a mountain that we learn to take Jesus Christ for all He wants to be to us. I think of dear brother and sister Kirk here. Now they can look on this as a great tragedy and say why. But I'll assure you, if they'll face this as God will have them face it, I don't know what will come, whether full deliverance will come to the boys or not, but I'll tell you this, when you get to heaven, you wouldn't have it any other way. You wouldn't have it any other way. You'll see. I've often said, here sat Sister Juanita Myers. And I've often, why, you know, God could just as easy heal her as He keeps her alive. He's keeping her in the fire. And oh, when you think of what it will be when it's all over. If we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. It's under these conditions that we learn to be tender like He is, long-suffering like He is, gentle like He is, gracious like He is. Listen, there's a lot of you.
that are permitted to get by with things that I wouldn't have thought of letting you get by with 20 years ago. I'm not getting soft. I'm just learning more about the grace of God. If He puts up with you, I can. Don't you know that? I'm learning that. I'm learning all the marvel. I've watched Him pick some of you up. I look at Ron. I look at Rick. You see, some of you never had that kind of a background. Raised Roman Catholics and all the disappointment and them the coming in. And oh, I'll tell you, devil just about hung them all on you, didn't he, Ron? Just about. Poor old Rick here, he went through enough hell for 4 lifetimes. But God knew what He was doing. And oh, you see the transformation taking place. They were out eating, Ron and Vicki out eating dinner, I think, with Paul and Paula one night. And suddenly, Vicki saw something was missing from Ron. Why, he said, I got rid of that a week ago. Metamorphosis. Change. Changing from glory to glory, even unto the likeness of the Lord. Getting rid of the old skin. Getting rid of the old rough exterior. Did you ever see a tobacco worm? Great big old horn on his tail? You know, later that thing turns out to be the thing he eats with. Becomes a beautiful long snout that he runs down in the flowers with. You see, that's the metamorphosis. You never know what it's going to be. And we look at one another and more, I'm learning to see Christ in my brother. See Christ in my sister. Realize that He is working. And He's working both the will and to do of His good pleasure. Well, we lose directions. I read where ships long before this times, before they had radar, they used to carry 2 compasses because sometimes they would sail into magnetic waters and the lower compass wouldn't act right. It wouldn't be true. And then they would go and look at the high compass that was up against the magnetic waters. And that would give them the true direction. And that's the way it is. You know, we get in these magnetic waters and that old lower compass won't tell us the fact. So we go up to this highest one. And it says, well, you're all right. You're on the course. Just go on. Don't get excited. Don't get upset. God loves you just as much as He ever did. He's with you same as He ever was. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to desert you. He can do anything. He'll take you through. Put your confidence in Him. Go on! He loves you just as much as He ever did. Yes. And so Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:18 said, we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. You see, that's that word metamorphosis, into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And you see, I've watched it. I've seen it. Most of you, I've watched come to the Lord. And then I've watched you as you sat. And I've watched the change. And I've seen others saved the same time you did and maybe before you did. But they wouldn't take that second change. They went off. They got up. They ran off someplace else. They went where it was exciting. Jesus could have taken the world, but He didn't take the world. The metamorphosis would not have come to Him had He taken the world. Of course, He couldn't. The Apostle Paul, you see, he must enter into the best. And so he permitted God to lead him the way He would have him go. Paul's vision was that I may win Him. He said that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. So over here in the kingdom of light, He begins to change us. And as we behold the Christ, and as we see Him, and as we keep our eyes on Him, and as we learn of Him and yield to Him, there is a constant changing going on. And we are changed from glory to glory, even unto the likeness of the Lord. Can't you see how some people that go on with God get like Jesus? Sure they do. They get like Him. They're tender like He is. They're loving like He is. Why? I'm going to tell you. It's a good thing God brought some of this along when He did. 25 years ago, I couldn't have loved some of you people that came in here. Some of you haven't loved me yet. But I love you. Oh, I love you. Tell you, little old Bill and Kathy, they came over there in my front room one night and I felt like I wanted to smash his teeth out of his face. There was a time I'd have done it. But God restrained me. What God can do only as we set back and let Him work, does He do it? Why, tonight I wouldn't trade Him for anything. The metamorphosis is taking place. The change. The transformation. Remember Bill came out there one day and he said, "Brother Hill," he had one of them knots down his back of his head about that long. He said, "Does the Bible say it's a shame for a man to have long hair?" And I said, "Yep." He said, "Where is that?" And I read it to him. He said, "Do you still cut hair?" And I said, "Well," I said, "I don't like to, but I'm on my way to get a haircut and I'll have yours cut if you want to cut." Well, he went in and he said, "Go light on it, brother." He did. I left him alone. You know, you learn to leave people with God. Let God take care of them. He'll take care of them. People that love God want to go with God. And the change will come. I can't bring about the change. You see, it takes this to bring about the change. It takes God. It takes His power. It takes His love. And if you love God, you're going to go with God. And if you don't go with God, there's something wrong with you. Because I'll tell you, it's the only thing that's going to count. Then let's go to the last. Now we're changed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And then we get over there in the kingdom of His dear Son, and as we behold His glory, as we seek His will, as we are not conformed to the world but transformed, we are changed from glory to glory. Our lives put on other glories and other glories. But then one day He's going to change us into suitable robes for that heavenly country. The 19th chapter of the book of Revelation tells about a company
And I quoted it this morning, let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And unto her was granted that she should be clothed in fine linen, clean and white. Paul said, a body like unto his own glorious body, whereby he is able also to subdue all things unto himself. And this is what's coming. John in 1 John 3:2 said, now are we the sons of God in this life. But he said, it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We're going to fully respond to the change. And when he comes with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, and that peal splits the air, some ears are going to be listening. And the last change will take place in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't it wonderful to be living with that expectation? Isn't it a wonderful thing to be privileged to have such possibilities? Yes. You see, that which makes the wilderness blossom like a rose, that which takes the corbin and changes it to a beautiful diamond, that which takes clay and makes a beautiful ruby out of it, will change us. Philippians 3:20 and 21 says, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall, there's that word again, metamorphos, change our vile bodies, that they may be fashioned upon like unto his own glorious body. So back yonder over 40 years ago, he took me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, and he put me over here. And oh, I don't know why. I thought back yonder, 39, 38 years ago, I thought, oh, Jesus, if you'd just come, surely you can't tarry this year. Then another year would come, surely you won't tarry this year. And another year would come. Now, I didn't understand it, but I understand it now. Oh, the change that's been taking place over the years. How sweet. I'm glad he didn't come 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I'm glad that I'm living in the time of his coming. I don't care whether I live in one sense till he comes or not. Sister Hatch talking to me on the phone the other morning. She said, well, Brother Hill, we'll see you in about 3 or 4 weeks. And I said, maybe. She said, what do you mean, maybe? Well, I said, I just might go to heaven. She said, you mean the Lord's coming? I said, he don't have to come and translate us for me to go to heaven. Why, she said, well, I want to go by translation. Well, I said, I do too if I'm alive. But I said, now you're taking one of them fast jet planes to Europe. You could take an old slow boat. Now, I said, if he comes and gets me by dying, I'm going to take the fast route.
Isn't that right?
Sure, I'll get there fastest. I'd just gladly change it for this place tonight. So,
over here in the kingdom of light, by His grace, He's been changing me. Some people tell me I'm not nearly as harsh as I used to be. Well, I'd hope not. If the Lord been in your life for 40 years and you're still the same old person, you haven't been changing. See? Didn't you know that? Sure enough. I'd hope that I was different than I was even a year ago, 6 months ago. We're being changed daily. The metamorphosis is going on all the time. All the time. We're being changed like to His glory. But oh, thank God. He that did it here and is doing it here, one of these days He's able to change these bodies.
Let's just stand and praise Him. Hallelujah!
Oh, God.
Hallelujah. I don't think you need any further invitation if you want to gather. Regardless of your need, gather around these altars and God will meet you.
Hallelujah.